Hare Krishna. Greetings from Vrindavan. Please excuse me for being just a little bit late. There's just so many things going on here. It's just when I started these classes, I started because I didn't really have so much other, you know, preaching service that like I have now. And we have so many people coming constantly. So we had many, many big groups, and now smaller groups are here. People are with me in the morning chanting japa, and we just kind of finished. So let me get to the Jiva Dharma, and thank you all for your patience. Om Nigyana Timarandasya Garanjana Shalakaya Daksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Napitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipashandu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we were at the section of our discussion where, because I think most of you are regulars, where Vrajanath, former logician, has become a devotee, and we're kind of following him. And he's become very inspired in Krishna consciousness and feels that his nature is renounced and therefore his social situation to best serve Krishna will be renounced. Where do we serve Krishna best? And when you feel that you're renounced from certain desires, you can serve Krishna best as a monk. And for other condition, you may, it's better, and you can serve Krishna better as a grihastha. Bhakti is not dhyan marg. Your advancement is not tested by your level of renunciation. But one who has renunciation, he should serve Krishna from a certain ashram. And there are benefits to that because the less absorbed you're in the world, the more you can be absorbed in Krishna. So there's a certain kind of advantage to that, if you have the nature. So he does not want to get married, but his grandmother does. And somehow she's enlisted his envious cousin who tried to cause discord between him and his guru. How demoniac when one tries to come in between the faith and relationship of a guru and disciple, because that disciple, his spiritual life is dependent on faith. I remember one time one sadhu told me that Vaishnava means one who promotes faith in guru. He supports supports a person's faith, of course, provided that the disciple and the guru are qualified, but he supports that faith. So we see in Krishna consciousness, there are all sorts of obstacles that could come. And Vajranath is facing two of them. One, his family is opposed to what's best for him in Krishna consciousness, or apparently what's best for him in Krishna consciousness, which is to be a monk. And they have family members that are actively and deviously trying to root it. But his guru was not influenced by the politics. And he says, "Ha, Krishna, ha, Gauranga. I've been serving the Vaishnavas for many days now, and by their mercy, I received the power to tell the difference between a Vaishnava and a non-Vaishnava. You don't need to say anything about this to me." He said, "You don't have to explain it," his guru says. "I've understood." Because you can understand, you know, you generally understand something by its symptoms, and the Vaishnava knows what's actually the symptoms of devotion. So he wasn't confused, especially when the person opened his mouth. You can put a dog on a throne, but when you throw a bone, it'll immediately go. It'll be revealed. So it doesn't take long for an intelligent person to understand who is insincere. So then Vrajanath, he said, "Okay, let's forget this and tell me how a jiva can be free from maya." I think that's where we were up. And then Babaji explained the seventh shloka of Dashamula. And what's interesting about this is, you know, part of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's genius in this dialogue is that through the enlightenment of the people that are coming to Krishna consciousness, and specifically through Vrajanath's journey in Krishna consciousness, we're getting a summary of the tattvas, the subjects of Krishna consciousness. And one of those ways in which those subjects are presented is something called Dashamula, which perhaps Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself wrote. So now he goes to the seventh shloka of Dashamula, and he answers the question, how did the jivas become free from maya? When in the course of wandering amongst the lower and higher species in the material world, a jiva is able to behold a Vaishnava absorbed in the flowing rasa of Srihari Bhakti, ruchi arises in his heart for following the Vaishnava way of life. By chanting Sri Krishna Divyanam, he gradually becomes free from his conditioning. Step by step, he then gains his intrinsic Chinmaya Sharup, transcendental form, and becomes qualified to taste the pure and spiritual rasa of direct service to Krishna. So, how do we get enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness? It's by association with a sadhu. What is that verse? Shushusho Shratatana Sya Vasudeva Katash Prichi Syat Mahat Sevana Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishegana. By serving the great Vaishnavas, souls, great service is there. And by such a service, Shushusho Vasudeva Katarachi, you get kata, you get taste for hearing about Krishna. And when you see a Vaishnava, you become attracted to becoming a devotee. If you have some kind of minimal faith and appreciation, I describe that concepts like humility and surrender, and, you know, through our conditioning, intellectually that may not seem attractive, but when you see a surrendered soul, when you see a humble Vaishnava, then it becomes attractive when the qualities are visible. We sometimes need things that are visible, and we see a humble Vaishnava. I would like to hear some evidence from the Vedas to verify this. And this is very nice, because maybe Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote the Dashamula, but everything had the Pramana is Shastra. So if something is true, it must be in Shastra. So, well, we did this last time. So he said, I'd like to hear some evidence. And then Babaji quotes from the Upanishads. And it's both the same verses in the Mundaka Upanishads and the Svetashvatara Upanishads about the two birds. In a tree, that the Paramatma resides in the body, just with the jiva, just like two birds in a tree, and the jiva is sunk in the bodily conception of life, and he laments. But when the jiva turns to the Supreme Lord, within his heart, he witnesses Krishna's glories, and then he becomes inspired to attain Krishna's service. Brajanath, this shloka states, when the jiva sees the Supreme Lord, he becomes free forever from all anxieties and directly perceives his magnificence. Brajanath said that this apply liberation. And the Babaji makes a very interesting distinction, that liberation means to be released from the clutches of Maya, but there's more than that. And those who have the association of saintly people, then they attain the glory that comes after liberation. After you become free from the clutches of Maya, that's not the ultimate destination. But the ultimate destination is not only to be free from the Maya, but to attain your sarup, your true identity. And he quotes from the sixth verse of the 10th chapter of the second canto. One of my favorite verses, Muktir Hidvan Yata Rupam Sarupena Vivastita, that our original position, the jiva, is a servant of Krishna. And then he falls down into darkness and he accepts a gross and subtle body. So when he falls down, he accepts a gross and subtle body. And liberation means, he says, to give up the extraneous forms, that yata rupam, and be situated in your original form, your sarup. So Babaji is explaining to Vrajanath that this is the real liberation. This half shloka explains that liberation means to abandon these other forms and to be situated in one's sarup. Attaining one's constitutional position is the perfection, the prayojana for the jiva. The work of liberation is complete the moment the jiva is released from the clutches of maya. Then so many activities begin once he attains his natural constitutional position. This is the ultimate perfection, the mula priyojana of the jiva. Mula priyojana, the root perfection. Prabhupada said that very clearly. The perfectional state of the living entity is to be called a devotee. That's the perfectional state, the original position, unfettered by anything extraneous to our true identity. Freedom from intense misery can be called liberation, but following liberation, there's another stage in which a person endeavors for spiritual happiness. Chit Shuk. This is stated in the Chandoga Upanishads 8.12.3. Evam evaisha samprasado smat shirirat samutaya param jyoti rupa sampadyasvena. When the jiva receives liberation, he transcends the gross and subtle material bodies and is situated in his own non-material spiritual state, complete with his spiritual effulgence. He then becomes transcendentally situated in that spiritual atmosphere. He becomes absorbed in enjoyment, bhoga, activities, kriya, and bliss. So again, just giving a shastra praman, an evidence for shastra, for any particular point that Babaji makes, he gives a verse from shastra. So now he explained liberation of the jiva. Now Vrajanath asked a very intelligent question. What are the symptoms of those? The symptoms of those who become liberated. Babaji, they have 8 symptoms as which Chandogya Upanishads describes as follows. Very interesting. 8 symptoms. We'll go over them.
Ya atma pahatapapma vijaro vimityur vikshok.
Oh, I see. It's prose.
Vijighatso vipasa satyakama satyasankalpa sambheshtavya.
A liberated soul has 8 qualities. He's freed from all sinful activity, as well as the addiction, the sinful activity that arises because of the nescience of maya. He's not subject to the miseries of old age. He always remains fresh and young and fresh and has no tendency to decay. He never comes to an end or dies. He is never morose. He has no sensual desires. He has a natural inclination towards serving Krishna with no other desires. And all of his desires are realized. The association of such a person should be earnestly sought after. Vrajanath, it is said in the Dashamula Shloka, the good fortune of the jiva who is wandering aimlessly in the material world begins when he meets a rasika Vaishnava who relishes the nectar of Hari. I have a doubt about this. Kindly explain if one can eventually attain Hari Bhakti by performing pious activities such as Ashtanga Yoga and cultivating Brahma Gyan. So interesting. The Dashamula says that we can attain liberation. We meet a Rasika Vaishnava. He says, well, you know, what about Brahma Gyan? What about Ashtanga Yoga? What about Karma Sukriti? Babaji answers, these are Sri Krishna's own words.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Narodiyati Mam Yogana Shankyam Dharma Evacha Naswadhyayas Tapastyago Neshtapurtam Nadakshina Vatani Yagyas Chandamsi Tirthani Nimayamaha Yatavarunde Satsanga Sarvasanga Baho Imam 11, 12, 1. So what about Ashtanga Yoga and all these other activities? Vrajanath wants to know for liberation. So this is the answer from the verse. Sri Bhagavad Uvacha says, I am not controlled by those who perform yoga and study Sankhya philosophy, perform religious duties and pious activities, study the Vedas, perform penance and austerities, practice renunciation, or accept sannyas, perform sacrifice and welfare activities, give donations and charity, practice fasting and other vows, perform yoga, chant confidential mantras, go on pilgrimage, and follow all the regulations and rules for spiritual life. However, one who accepts satsang, which destroys all material attachments, can control me. How much can I say? Ashtanga yoga can slightly satisfy me, but sadhu sangha controls me completely. Then he quotes another verse. And I guess this is about the efficacy of satsanga, because the whole verse in the Dashamula said that you get liberated by association of a great devotee. Yasya yat sangati pumso manivatsyat satadguna sukula dhyaitato diman swayutanyeva shamshare. Just as a jewel or crystal reflects the color of the object with which it is in contact, so a person develops qualities according to the company he keeps. Therefore, by keeping association with Shuddha Bhaktas, one can become a Shuddha Bhakta, a pure devotee. Thus, in the association of Shuddha Bhaktas is the root cause of all good fortune. In the Shastras, the word Nishanga means to live in solitude. This implies you should only live in the association of Bhaktas. Nishanga means to leave all other association and take to the association of Bhaktas. Even unintentional association with saintly people brings good fortune to the jiva. Sango ya samstritir hetu asatsu bhyato diya sa eva sadusho kritida sangatvaya kalpate. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:23:55. The association of materialists is the cause of bondage in the world. Even though one may not know that this is so, similarly, association with saintly persons, even if it happens by chance or unknowingly, is called the Sangha. So it says association with saintly people is called the Sangha without bad association. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7:53, Naisham Matastavad Arukramangrim Sprishatyanarta Pagamo Yirarta Vahiyasam Pada Rajobhishekam Vakinchananam Vanityavat. The lotus feet of Arukram, who is glorified for his uncommon activities, destroys all anarthas in the heart. However, those who are very materialistic cannot be attached to his lotus feet until they smear their bodies with the dust from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava who is completely free from material attachment. So again, quoting verse after verse, that real association and is to get the association of pure devotees. And Srimad Bhagavatam 10:48:31 states,
Nahi yam mayani tirthani nadeva mitschilamaya te punyuru kalena arshanane vasarava. One who is purified by the holy places where rivers such as the Ganga flow, and by the stone and clay deities of devatas, only after rendering them reverential service over a long time. So one is purified by the Ganga and by deities after a long time. However, when one has darshan of a Shuddha Bhakta, a pure devotee, he is purified immediately. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam 10:51-53 also says, Vilapa Bhargo Brahmato Yadapavich Janasyata Yachuta Satsamagama Satsangamo Yahi Tadaiva Sadkato Paravareshe Tvarijayate Mati. O infallible Lord, the jiva has been wandering in the world of birth and death since time without beginning. When the time comes for him to leave this cycle of life and death, he associates with your Shuddha Bhaktas. From the moment he achieves this association, his mind becomes firmly fixed on you, who are the sole and supreme shelter of the surrendered Bhaktas, the controller of all and the cause of all causes. Baba, since time without beginning, the jiva who is eternally bound by Maya has been moving in the universe, taking birth according to his karma, sometimes as a deva, sometimes in the various animal species. From the time that he attains the association of saintly persons, because of his past pious activities, Sukriti, he fixes his mind very strongly on Krishna, the controller of all. I'm kind of liking where this Jiva Dharma is going. I think we're getting into more juicy sections. Vrajanath, you have said the association of Shuddha Bhakta is attained by Sukriti. What is Sukriti? Is it karma or jnana? Shastras say that there are two auspicious karmas, Shubha karma, that are according to Vedic junction. One causes the appearance of bhakti, while the other gives irrelevant, inferior results. Performance of pious activities such as nitya and naimittika dharma, studying sankhya, and cultivating jnana all give irrelevant results. The only auspicious activities that give bhakti as an end result, bhakti prada sukriti, are associating with Shuddha Bhaktas and with places, times, and things that bestow bhakti. When enough bhakti prada sukriti has been accumulated, it gives rise to Krishna bhakti. The other type of sukriti, however, is consumed after one enjoys its results. So it does not accumulate to give any permanent results. This is just an interesting fact, that the bhakti sukriti doesn't ever get used up. It remains eternally in the soul. So once you're on that path of bhakti, you're always increasing. You don't perform bhakti and then use up your bhakti sukriti. In this path, there is no loss and diminution. And if one does even the littlest of service, it remains eternally. All the pious deeds in the world, such as charity, only result in achieving the objects of sense gratification. The sukriti of impersonal speculation results in impersonal liberation. Neither of these kinds of sukriti can give devotional service to Sri Bhagavan. So clearly distinguishing any other type of sukriti from bhakti. Activities such as sadhu sangha and observing Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima all help to develop one's saintly qualities. Tulsi, Mahaprasad, Sri Mandir, holy places, an article used by sadhus. Sadhu Vastu, all auspicious, touching them or
obtaining their darshan or pious deeds that give rise to bhakti. So these are a lot of things that someone may do inadvertently. They may not even be a devotee. Like you can perform a codicil just being a Hindu, or take some mahaprasad or visit holy places. I'm seeing people are visiting here Vrindavan and relishing it. They're not necessarily devotees, but that will bring them to Krishna consciousness. Vrajanath, can a person obtain bhakti if he's tormented by material problems and take shelter of Srihari's lotus feet in full knowledge to become relieved of his problems? Very good question. We're suffering in the world. What if we take shelter of Krishna, relieve that suffering, and free us of our problems? What effect will that have? Babaji, the jiva harassed by the afflictions of the goddess of illusion may somehow understand through discriminating intelligence that worldly activities are simply troublesome, and that his only solace is Krishna's lotus feet and the feet of his Shuddha Bhaktas. Knowing this, he takes shelter of his lotus feet, and the first step in this process of surrender is to accept the shelter of Shuddha Bhaktas. The principal outcome of such an act is bhakti pradasukriti, through which he obtains the lotus feet of Bhagavan. Whatever renunciation and wisdom he had originally were just secondary means of attaining bhakti. Thus, the association of bhaktis is the only way to attain bhakti. There is no other recourse. Vrajanath, if karma, jnana, renunciation, and wisdom are secondary ways of achieving bhakti, what is the objection to calling them bhakti pradasukriti? Babaji, there is a strong objection. They bind one to inferior temporary results. The performance of karma has no permanent result, but it binds the jiva to the objects of sense gratification. Renunciation and empirical knowledge can only lead the jiva as far as the knowledge of Brahma. And this conception of an impersonal supreme principle prevents him from attaining Bhagavan's lotus feet. Let me read that again. Babaji, there is a strong objection. Why can't karma and renunciation, which are secondary ways of achieving bhakti, be called bhakti pradasukriti? Because karma means you may be pious and you may greet Vaishnavas at your home. Anyway, there's a strong objection. They bind one to inferior temporary results. So what happens is, when you perform these, even though they may indirectly help you to come to bhakti, generally what happens is you get bound by temporary results. Example, the performance of karma has no permanent results, but it binds the jiva to the objects of sense gratification. Renunciation and empirical knowledge can only lead the jiva as far as the knowledge of Brahma, and this conception of an impersonal supreme principle prevents him from obtaining Bhagavan's lotus feet. Consequently, these cannot be called bhakti pradasukriti. It is true that they sometimes take one to bhakti, but this is not the usual course of events. So, karma and gyan, in indirect ways, could lead one to bhakti, but generally, it's not the result. That's the usual course of events. Generally, they just bind you either in an impersonal conception, which hinders bhakti, or pursuits of the object of sense gratification, which can hinder bhakti. Sadhu Sangha, on the other hand, definitely does not award any secondary benefit, but forcibly brings the jiva towards prema. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25:25. Satam prasanga mama virya sampado Avanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata Najoshana Rashapa Bhagavartmani Shadaratir Bhakti Anukramisyati. In the association of Shuddha Bhaktas, the recitation and discussion of my glorious activities and pastimes are pleasing both to the heart and the ears. By cultivating knowledge in this way, one becomes established on the path of liberation and progressively attains Shraddha, then Bhava, and finally Prema. Vrajanath, I understand that Sadhu Sangha is the only Sukriti that gives rise to Bhakti. One has to listen to Harikatha from the mouths of Sadhus, and thereafter one obtains Bhakti. Is this the proper sequence to the progress of Bhakti? I have another class and have to quickly do some puja beforehand. I have time to answer maybe one question, or people could say hello. Would anybody like to say hello or ask one question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Gail here.
Hi, Bo, Gail.
Yeah, just let me try to ask quickly. They said that there's no diminution in, this bhakti process. And a question that was always recurring for me is, when a person, let's say, commits offenses, right, and then whatever bhakti they had acquired becomes temporarily covered, it just seems, because it is covered, even though it is temporary, it just seems like a technicality to say that you don't.
Well, no, it's different because when the gyan goes, it's finished. The bhakti stays in the heart. So you don't, when the offenses are finished, it will manifest again. But the gyan, the benefit and the karma is completely gone. And I've seen it. There's devotees that have left and they stayed away and they suffered and they always come back, practically speaking, people who've done substantial service.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're saying that you don't have to, start from zero.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it. Okay, thank you, Gail. I really think that it's going to be exciting now. I'm just looking at it. It's interesting stuff. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Chaitanya Priya listening.
Thank you. Thank you for listening so regularly. Anybody else like to say hello?
I love you. I love Krishna Patel.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else say hello quickly?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bajrajan.
Thank you so much. Anybody
Thank
else?
You.
Okay, anyway, I have to go quickly and do so many things, but thank you all for coming on. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.